To Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 37, which is found on page 27. We're still on the third commandment. This is the last Lord's Day of the third commandment. It's page 27, Lord's Day 37. Please respond to the questions. But may we swear reverently by the name of God? Yes. When the magistrate requires it, or when it is needful otherwise to maintain and promote fidelity and truth to the glory of God and our neighbor's good. For such an oath is grounded in God's word, therefore was rightly used by the saints in the Old and New Testament. May we swear by the saints or by any other creatures? No, our lawful oath is calling upon God, that he, as the only searcher of hearts, may bear witness to the truth and punish me if I swear falsely, which honor is due to no creature. Okay. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. And I'm going to be focusing on the latter question as to why we don't swear or pray to saints. And it's not enough to say, well, because we're not Catholic. And I like to take the challenge of listening to, well, in this case, the Catholics, and seeing why they pray to the saints, and then use this passage as a justification for that. And so let's take a look at this one passage, Revelation chapter 5. We're going to start reading at verse 6, but just so generally you know the context, this is the Lamb, talking about the Lamb of God opening the scrolls. In the beginning of this chapter, John was weeping because no one was worthy to open the scrolls. And the scroll is signifying the plan of redemption. And no one could accomplish his plan of redemption until the Lamb of God accomplished this redemption. And in response, there is this worship going on here among the saints. So let's start at verse 6. We'll go to verse 13, or let's go to verse 14 to the end. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp, and this is the relevant part especially for them, and golden bowls of incense, full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. Now, I'm not obviously going to cover every single thing going on here, but just so you know, have the reference of what is happening here, of this glorious, spectacular scene of worship towards the Lamb of God. But where they get the idea of the saints, of praying to the saints, is that what they would say is in verse 8, which the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp, and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And so there is an indication going on here that the saints that this is referring to are both the saints who have been martyred and both the saints who are here on earth. And so if the prayer of the saint, if the saints who are dead understand what's going on here on earth, then what's the problem if we pray to the saints? Because, after all, we're not worshiping the saints, they would say. We are asking just like you would ask a friend. You know, we ask for each other. We ask each other to pray for one another. But I'm not worshiping you. I'm asking you to pray on my behalf. And we're co-mediators. We are we are all priests, right? That's what the passage says. And in response to that, I think it's missing the entire point of this passage. But most directly, I think what we can say about this passage is that the singing, the praises, and the prayers of the martyred saints and the living saints are aligned. It doesn't say anything about the dead saints asking for the living saints to pray for them, or that the living saints should pray to the dead saints. There's no indication of that. The most that we can say is that there is a spiritual reality going on here, and we would say this as well. As we gather together and worship, there is a heavenly reality where we are blending our voices with the angels in heaven. That's what the picture we get in Hebrews chapter 12. But to say that the dead saints are involved in the life of the saints here on earth, there's just absolutely nothing to say that or to conclude that. And so what they have to do is insert their interpretation upon this passage to make it say what they want it to say. And so can the saints in heaven hear every prayer? I mean, that's another question that we can ask. Can the saints in heaven hear every prayer of every creature in every language? And the Catholics would say, well, it's possible. We don't know their state of mind in heaven. Well, it doesn't say that, now does it? And so it is a weak argument that the Catholic Church has to insert into the text. And another reason why we say we don't pray to the saints in heaven is because prayer is on par with worship, which is what is happening here, right? So if we're praying to a dead saint, it is what we're doing, what the same thing is happening here. It's worship. We worship our God when we pray to him. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray to our Father and hallow his name. And so to pray to a dead saint is idolatrous, because prayer is worship. And it is fallacious to say that it's just like asking a friend. We don't pray to a friend to pray for us. We come before our Lord Jesus Christ in our prayer. John says, and later on in Revelation, as he tries to bow down to an angel in worship, the angel says, "See that you don't do that. I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God." And contrast that with doubting Thomas when he touched the side of our Lord and bowed down and said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus did not rebuke Thomas the way the angel rebuked John, because Jesus is indeed God. He does receive our worship. He alone is worthy of our worship. So no creature is worthy to be prayed, sworn to, or worshipped, but God alone. And the saints in heaven have no advantage. They have no special access or privilege that we don't already have, because we have the same Holy Spirit and we have the word in which he authored. So we lack nothing. We don't need to pray to dead saints, because we have the Spirit. We have the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So let's conclude our summary of Lord's Day 37 with that.